This air review is brought to you by Verizon. When the Navy and the Marine Corps look to securely and effectively modernize their voice communications, Verizon's suite of services, solutions, and contract vehicles are there to help meet mission needs.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ross Joffertunay, Managing Editor here at GovCIO Media and Research. We are at National Harbor, Maryland. Beautiful day today at Sea Air Space 2024. And joining me is U.S. Coast Guard Commandant Linda Fagan, Admiral Linda Fagan. Sorry.
That's fine. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks so much for doing this. It's an exciting time at the Coast Guard, obviously, with the executive order and the sort of emphasis and bringing to the spotlight. But the workforce, I imagine, is always the top of your mind. So how do you get digital natives into the Coast Guard and make it the Coast Guard of the future?
Yeah, workforce is top of mind. In fact, we just came from the Coast Guard breakfast where we talked a lot about workforce and some of the work that we're doing to transform how we manage that workforce. And, recruiting is job one, and we've made a lot of investments in our recruiting capacity, and in particular doing innovative things to go find those digital natives where they are. And it's not big advertising campaigns. It's things like Twitch, the online gaming site, and other avenues that help illuminate who we are as a service to the young people that we're so interested in bringing in. I will say, though, once we showcase to a young person what service in the Coast Guard is, what the opportunities are, they're joining, they're excited, they're motivated, and they have a sense of purpose that really leaves me enthused about the future of the Coast Guard.
How do you bring Twitch into it to sort of sell the mission?
Yeah, so it's it starts with just little advertising hooks and again little videos, vignettes. You've seen the imagery: our swimmers jumping out of helicopters. The small boats on the water at the Baltimore Bay Bridge recovery site, ships and boats in the surf. And so you start with the imagery, and then you begin educate and exploring and sharing what the opportunities are.
Yeah, it's certainly dynamic imagery, certainly exciting imagery, but it runs itself well to something like Twitch. Digital natives talking about the future, AI, 2024. How are you using AI? How is the Coast Guard using AI? And particularly, like, defensively, how is using it?
So AI, machine learning, those are all technologies that are here with us now. We're in the stages, really, job one right now is getting our data and data warehoused and cataloged in a way that allows us then to apply some of those technologies. We've got a data transformation group working on, again, data warehousing, sort of the governance, the unfun stuff around data so that you can use data analytics, predictive analytics, machine learning, AI to begin to create opportunity. And so my intent is to continue to bring the organization sort of from the legacy that we were as an organization into the current state and enable then the kind of future work that we will need, and it includes unmanned systems. So how we're creating data and data feeds. So for example, sail drone. We have a contract with a sail drone, right, and fully autonomous vessels, and we've got them deployed in the migration vectors down in the Caribbean to help create just domain awareness for us, so that we're better enabled to actually affect interdictions. We're not out there sort of wondering where people are. We know and can go out and do those interdictions. All that's with us now, and I'm excited about the work that we're doing.
Yeah, is that mud? Is that a rock? I know I talked to Admiral Carey from NOAA about that, about ocean mapping and things like that. I'm sure that's, the uncrewed missions are critical to that. You talked about contracting, acquisition. Again, we're talking tech here.
Yep.
What does contracting and acquisition look like now and in the future?
Yeah, and so we're in the midst of, our largest acquisition since World War II. We're fielding, brand new state-of-the-art ships. And, the National Security Cutters, which I still think of are new, they're coming up on. The first one was put into commission 15 years ago. And so that refresh and ensuring that ship remains relevant in the mission space is very much in the forefront now. As I think about the new ships, so, for example, Polar Security Cutter, which we will begin building this year, and have a suite of technical capabilities on her, but when she comes into midlife and refresh, the question then really becomes sort of ready for what, right? What is that next technology? And so creating capacity, because you can't predict what the next technology is going to be, but you've got to have the ship with the nimbleness and flexibility to be positioned to take advantage of whatever the next technology is, and thinking differently about, hey, we're not going to just lock this technology in for 20 or 30 years, because we all know the pace of technological change is quickening. And, you know, it used to be you needed more bigger space for data and data storage. All that is shrunk down and enables some of that more creative thinking and capacity around kind of what next. And at the end of the day, you're creating, you're gathering information to create knowledge, but it's really about operational decision space and creating that capacity to understand your environment and then make decisions at the speed that's needed. And in a high-speed chase, that's one set of speeds. And in others where you're looking to do longer-term trends and analysis, it's got a different sense of space. But all of that is work that we've got with us now.
Yeah, certainly in something that is the time frame needs to be very quick. There's no room for error. Right. So how do you sort of future-proof stuff to make sure that you're not making those errors?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? And one of the things that we continue to look at fielding technology and innovating as an organization, we lean heavily on experiences and learning that the other military services have done. Look for commercial off-the-shelf availability. So some of that risk, that failure risk, has already been wrung out of some of those technologies for us. We've got a research and development center in New London, Connecticut, that helps us think through and field some of that technology specific to the kinds of missions that the Coast Guard's doing.
So to that end, you talked about sort of lessons learned dealing with other services about what works, what doesn't work. The import of partnerships in that sense, both with industry, between the services, academia.
Right,
tell me about the
right.
importance of that.
Yeah, so let's talk about ships, partnerships, and allyships. They're really, really critical. And as we look at Coast Guard operations around the world, that continued partner and ally engagement is front and center. Creating opportunities to exchange officers between ships, to share information, share technology where it's possible. Certainly, as the complexity of the world and the risk of the world continues to accelerate, creating those shared opportunities, alignment, both allies and partners, but also with our industry partners as well, really become critical, and the speed and the trust in those conversations are essential as we look to mitigate risk as the world changes around us.
It is a constantly changing world. Just because you mentioned it, the Francis Scott Key Bridge,
yes,
in Baltimore. How are you working with authorities there, local and state, and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, so obviously that we're about 2 weeks into that now, recovery and response. We are part of a unified command up there that represents the federal, state, city officials working to remove the bridge debris, refloat the ship, and reopen the Port of Baltimore. It could not be a better alignment of the team and capabilities and leadership. There's work to do, but we've absolutely got all of the right entities, again, from the federal, state, and the local level up there. And the Corps of Engineers announced at the end of last week they'd have that channel to 35 feet at the end of this month, and they've said 50 by the end of May, which restores capacity for the Port of Baltimore. We're very much a part of all those efforts, along with a number of other federal agencies, and look forward to seeing that work continue. And you can see it accelerating now.
For sure. I mean, having gone up there, you can see things are really, really happening, and things will be back.
Yeah.
I'm Fagan. Thanks so much for being with us.
No, thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks.